You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore. Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number two. If you are indeed listening to the Common Sense Show, we come to you live every Sunday evening at this time, from 9 p.m. to midnight, and that's in the central time zone. Our thanks to Brian Toohey, and I really urge you to go to his website, thefixisin.net, and I would encourage you to pick up his two books if you're a sports fan, because you'll never see it the same way. And he said he didn't know a lot about stats. Well, I do. I taught statistics at the collegiate level for almost 17 years. I've written courses in it, and I have to tell you, I went through his data. It's good, and unfortunately, it's not as pure-driven as we'd like to believe. And also, the fix is in for this hour. And let me just start off on a personal note. It's with a heavy heart, you know, that I lost my cousin Jerry Jenkins this week, and he passed away due to complications with pneumonia. And he was the son of my Uncle Frank, and this ties into where we're going to go with this hour's guest. My Uncle Frank had a tool and die shop on Main Street in Dallas, adjacent to Dealey Plaza, where President Kennedy was shot. And he hadn't got the word that the parade route, which was supposed to go right in front of his business, he didn't get the word that the parade route had been changed a few days before to go in front of the book depository, you know, where history was made. And so anyway, my cousin Jerry dead and of pneumonia, and my thoughts and prayers go out to his family. But interesting twist of fate with my uncle. I grew up as a young child hearing all about my uncle's friends who were at Dealey Plaza that day and who saw things that did not get reported in the mainstream media. And our guest for this hour is John Onesti. Comes to us live from Albuquerque, and he's written a book called Assassination Point Blank. And if you want to order the book, you're going to be able to go to my website, and John will be giving you his website as well, thecommonsenseshow.com, and it's an ad squarely right in the middle of the page. You can't miss it. It's a terrific read. I've been working my way through it this week, and unfortunately, John, I didn't get all the way through it because of life circumstances this week, but I've gotten through most of it, and I cheated, and I went to the ending. But this isn't really a book about history. You wrote this as more of a fictional drama, didn't you?
Yes. Hi. Good evening, Dave, and hello to your audience. And Dave, I'm sorry to hear about your loss. It's a shame. And your previous guest showed your audience that they'll never see sports the same way, and I think they'll never see the JFK assassination the same way after they hear some of the things I'm going to talk about tonight. But I wrote it as a novel, and when you get through with it, you'll see why. Part of it is there's several reasons for that, but you'd have to read it really to know all of that. But it all started a few years back when another radio show host did a show on the assassination, and he talked about how he thought it was more than a conspiracy, that it was an inside job. And after he finished with his show, I was shocked, and I actually had his phone number because at the time I was doing some radio ads on the station he was on, and happened to get his phone number, and I called him up, and I asked him if he was going to write a book on it, because I knew he had other books out, and he said no, he didn't want to spend the time, he had other things to do. And I told him, well, somebody needs to write a book on this, and I said, if it checks out what you said is true, maybe I should write it. And he said, well, go ahead, go for it, he said. And he sent me the show notes, And I started with what I knew and his notes, and I went further and found that what he said was true. And not only that, it went beyond. I found additional supporting evidence. And we can get into some of that tonight.
Yeah, I absolutely want to get into that. But a lot of people said, and let's just go back to the basics, what everybody knows, is that some people still adhere to the fact about what 30% of the country believes Oswald acted alone, and he could have fired those shots in world record time with a bolt-action rifle, with a defective scope, shooting through a tree, as Jim Mars likes to point out. No way he did that. So I'm sure that tipped you off, but tell me your line of thinking that led you to write the book. You've got your encounter with this person, but why did you say, okay, this has to be told? What specifically grabbed you?
There were several things, but one was he had mentioned on his show that nobody has seen in the Zapruder film, which I realize is altered some, but there's still some value to it. And one of the things he pointed out was that nobody has seen ducking or reacting in any major way until after the fatal headshot, other than JFK, who, when they go behind the street sign and then the limo reappears, you could see him putting his hands up toward his face and neck area. But nobody else in the car ducks. None of the agents react. Nothing that would indicate that, you know, shots were fired. So that was a strange, I felt that was strange. And he had went on to mention who he thought shot the president and everything else. And then I looked in at the film further, and I noticed Governor Conley moving around in the car, which you can see, and your audience can go on to YouTube and find, you know, the best quality version of the Zapruder film, or they can order one off of Amazon. They sell them there. And if they watch Conley the entire time, they'll see him moving about the car after the fatal headshot. And that's not consistent with his testimony or his interviews, in which he said he was unconscious and that he was hit and that he had a baseball-sized wound in his chest and that it hit him in the wrist and in the leg. So then I started thinking, wait a minute, you know, this guy didn't mention he was moving around in the car. What else is going on here? So I started looking further into this, and it's known, this part is known at least, his suit that he wore that day, his clothes, were shipped from Dallas. They were carried from Dallas to D.C. by Henry Gonzalez at the request of LBJ to have those clothes cleaned, as were Nellie Conley's clothes. So then I got to thinking, wait a minute, this is really weird. You know, this guy's moving around in the car, and his clothes are clean, and his wife's clothes are cleaned. Start looking further, and I discover that the fragments that were missing from the bullet, which Jim Mars has pointed this out, and I know he's been on your show, and he pointed it out in a conference that I was at, and he showed what was Conley's wrist, and he said, well, the fragments missing from the bullet are less than what they claim were in Conley's wrist. So I'm beginning to think, well, wait a minute, maybe he wasn't hit at all. Maybe this is all made up because they had the clothes cleaned, the fragments don't line up. Of course, they would come back and say, well, that wasn't the bullet, or it was a different bullet, or he was hit by two different times. I'm saying I don't think he was hit at all. And later, when he died in the 1990s, forensic pathologist Cyril Wecht wanted to examine the body, and the family would not let him look at the body. Why?
I remember that clearly. We're going to step aside, John. We come back. Let's pick it up with Governor Conley and the crime scene tampering done by LBJ. Stay tuned, everybody. More with John Onesti after a word from these sponsors. We'll be right back.
JFK assassination, the greatest whodunit mystery of the 20th century. Americans know they've been lied to. The Warren Report and many conspiracy theories do not accurately explain what actually occurred. In-depth research findings, featured in John Onesti's new book, Assassination Point Blank, paints a surprisingly new and highly controversial portrayal of what may have actually happened. In Assassination Point Blank, you'll learn how the Secret Service stood down and how the JFK assassination was, in fact, an inside job. You'll discover why William Greer slowed the car, why Governor Connally snuck into the back seat, why the governor's suit was cleaned, why only Clint Hill took action, and the real reason why Jackie climbed on the trunk, and more. Go beyond Lee Harvey Oswald and faceless shooters. Find out what really happened that day. Get your copy of Assassination Point Blank and gain a new perspective of the most heart-wrenching event of the 20th century. Find Assassination Point Blank on Amazon.com.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Your house is dark, vacant. You must be gone on vacation for a while. Thanks for all the jewelry.
Don't be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone is inside watching TV and makes your home unappealing to would-be thieves.
Don't these people ever leave?
Starting at $24.95, and there's free shipping. Go to faketv.com or ask for it at your local hardware store. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Back, John Onesti, and John is the author of the new book, Assassination Point Blank, and it's regarding the JFK assassination. And as we unfold this during this hour, you're going to see that John has a very, very unique theory. It's one that we've never covered here on the Common Sense Show, and we've covered most of the theories, but this is unique to us, very provocative. John, we left off going into the break. We were talking about the wounds on Governor Connally or the supposed wounds. There's a lot more here than meets the eye. But also, I have a concern because the limousine was shipped and cleaned out. The clothes were shipped and washed. This was crime scene tampering by Lyndon Johnson. Don't you agree?
Oh, definitely. And all those people are lawyers. They should know better than to do that. And that also indicates that Johnson had foreknowledge. And that the Secret Service had foreknowledge, because Vince Palomara, the expert on the Secret Service, wrote a book recently, Survivor's Guilt. It actually was self-published and written some time ago, but he got it published by a mainstream publisher about a year or so ago. And he demonstrates how the Secret Service stood down that day, and he even shows how the guards were called off the limo at the airport. So that indicates foreknowledge.
The one agent was waving his hands in disgust when he was called off Kennedy's limo.
Right, Don Lawton at the airport, at Love Field, right.
And you know, you're so right about the stand down of the Secret Service. going in front of that turn in front of the book depository, the car is going 14 miles an hour, that's a no-no. The window is open in Dealey Plaza, that's a no-no. And the fact that the president was the lead car, a huge no-no. And the fact that there weren't Secret Service agents on the car and around the car, as you just pointed out, yeah, Kennedy was clearly set up by the Secret Service. And that's classic CIA hit, because what they do in a lot of foreign hits that I've studied is they compromise the bodyguard. And you're exactly right. That's precisely what happened that day.
Foreknowledge and a stand down. And they also had to make sure they had the number two man on board, which in this case was LBJ, which means that LBJ knew, and we know he did, because right after it occurred, they started with their cover up with the, you know, the FBI and the Dallas Police Department and so on and so forth. So, you know, there you have it. Johnson knew, and you have to ask yourself a question then, if you believe he knew, which I think there's plenty of evidence to show that. We also have Madeline Duncan Brown, his mistress, yes, who and Billy Solis, too, who were at the Murchison Mansion the night before, and they both testified, and Galen Ross has those tapes about this meeting, and Brown said that LBJ told her that the Kennedys would never embarrass him again after the following day, and that's when he died. But why think about this, though. Connally and LBJ, they rose together in Texas politics, over stepping over dead bodies all the way up to the point where they stepped over JFK's body. But why would LBJ put his good buddy, John Connally, in the same car that was about to be ambushed if he had foreknowledge? That's a question that all the researchers have to discuss, and they all have to now deal with Palomara's work, which shows the Secret Service involvement and foreknowledge. And my answer to a lot of that is, well, if Connally was never hit and that the president was shot at close range from within the car and that those other shots that were fired from the Knoll, the Daltax building, the TSBD, were distraction shots fired after the fatal headshot, then there's your answer to why Connally was in that car. And some people talk about there was an argument the night before about who was going to ride in the car. But if you look at who were the witnesses there, were also people that would have stood to benefit from the assassination. But also some other things about Connally. Who do you suppose it was that told JFK to include Dallas on the Texas trip? Because that wasn't in the schedule originally.
Right.
It was John Connally. He called White House in early October and to tell the president to include Dallas, and he flew out there, in fact, and he convinced him to include it. And it reminds me of the, you know, in the Godfather movie where Marlon Brando talks to Michael and he tells him, you know, they're going to try to assassinate you after I pass away, and the guy who comes to you to arrange the meeting, he's the traitor, remember that. Well, who came to Kennedy to put Dallas on the Texas trip? That was Connally. He also was involved with changing the parade route, as was the mayor and Secret Service. So there you have it. Another thing that's interesting is his son-in-law, Robert Allen Hale, was seen by FBI officials, and this is, you can get this online, breaking into Judith Campbell Exner's apartment a year before the assassination. You tell me what the odds are that Connally's son-in-law would break into that apartment of all the apartments. I mean, that's, yeah, let's talk about statistics. And then 2 days before that, who died? Marilyn Monroe in L.A., too. Those two women were both allegedly JFK mistresses. But what they also were, that they leave out, is information carriers. In the case of Exner, she would have been carrying information about CIA and mob activity from Sam Giancana to Kennedy. In the case of Marilyn Monroe, would have been Hollywood and information about the media and Hollywood, because she knew a lot of people, and she would have been able to tell JFK who was backstabbing him in the media. So it's just interesting, two alleged mistresses. And then another one died a year after, Cord Meyer's ex-wife, was murdered, and she, Kordmeier, was the head of Operation Mockingbird, CIA's infiltration of the media, and here was another so-called mistress. So were these women really mistresses, or were they information carriers? That's a major question.
My vote would be for the latter. And in the case of Marilyn Monroe, she got too close and had to be done away with. She had too much damning information. But yeah, you're kind of preaching to the choir on this, but it's unique to convince me. It's a mind shift, a paradigm shift for me, John, that the shots came from inside the car.
Well, if you go on my blog, johnonestyblogspot.com, there's a link on your website, and thanks for putting that up there. And they can also type my name into Google, and they'll type in John Onesti blog, and it'll take them to my blog. And there's an interview with Dr. Robert McClellan. He talks about, and I have it, it's about an hour and some minute interview. And so I put under the notes, under the caption, the time period to look at. And he mentions that Dr. Jenkins, this is at Parkland, when they were working on the president, had mentioned that there was a temple wound in the left temple of the president. And McClellan said he couldn't see it because his head was covered with blood and it was turned in such a way he couldn't see it. But the Jenkins told him that there was a wound there, and that was even in the, I think it was the New York Times, unabridged Warren testimony. And then they redacted it out. And Jenkins later said, oh, no, I never said that. But he might have been pulled aside and told what to say and what not to say. Also, the back wound was not discovered at Parkland. It was discovered at Bethesda. They did perform a tracheotomy at Parkland. So you have to ask, was he hit in the way they say he was hit? What else were they altering? If they were, I mean, they could have been altering this body to change it from, because he was hit from inside the car, in the same way that, you know, Grassy Knoll people would say, well, they changed it because they didn't want people to know that he was shot from the front. Why? Well, the same reason.
Right there, John, we got to go to break, but I'm going to pick it up here when we come back, and we'll pick it up right there with the shots, potentially from the Grassy Knoll versus what you're alleged. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be back after a word from these sponsors.
People have experienced the benefits of drinking all-natural Life Change tea. The unique blend of 8 herbs helps detoxify your body so you can live a healthier life. Numerous testimonies have been given about the benefits of drinking Life Change tea. So, are you drinking Life Change tea? Interested? Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Many are so impressed with our product, they order a year's supply. And why not? When they do, they receive 2 months free. That's a $70 savings. The body is meant to heal itself. Sometimes the body just needs a little help. Get the tea at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. This is not an ordinary green tea, and it's not available in stores. This tea helps with digestive problems, acid reflux, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and as talk show host Jerry Doyle says, it'll make you as regular as a baby bird. Enjoy your life. Get Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com.
Broadcasting to the U.S. and around the world by way of Clear Digital Audio, 22,500 miles above the planet, this is the Global Star Radio Network.
Are you prepared for the future? Do you know how to navigate past the upcoming dangers before it's too late and to seize budding opportunities before others do? Forecasting worldwide since 1980, Gerald Celeni, publisher of the Trends Journal, provides timely and accurate trend forecasts that have earned him the reputation as the most trusted name in trends. The proof is in the hundreds of accurate forecasts Celeni has made over the past 30 years. The 1987 stock market crash, the clean food trend, the dot-com bust. The Trends Journal alerts subscribers to early subtle signs of crucial trends that will shape our future. It allows readers to anticipate change, recognize the implications, and take proactive strategies. Put your money where your mind is with Gerald Celente's brilliant and indispensable Trends Journal. Go to trendsjournal.com or call 845-331-3500. That's 845-331-3500.
When you think of getting old, what comes to your mind? Spending the last years of your life in a nursing home? Staring out a window? Medicated to keep you docile? Not able to recognize your own kids? Suffering with some dreaded disease until you die all alone? Well, think again. One of the premier doctors in the world, Dr. James Forsythe, wrote the book, Anti-Aging Cures, Life-Changing Secrets to Reverse the Effects of Aging, your key to the real fountain of youth. And Suzanne Summers, the perpetual face of eternal youth, wrote the foreword. As mentioned in the book, Royal Velvet is the most cost-effective, easiest, and complete way to reverse the effects of aging. It's true. So, do you want glowing skin, less wrinkles, thicker hair, less gray hair, your hormones balanced, improved memory, a toned physique, greater energy, less pain and stiffness, as well as benefits too numerous to name? Go to RoyalVelvetNow.com. Click on the rinse icon in the upper right-hand corner, and within a couple of days, you can be on the path to youthful living. RoyalVelvetNow.com. Your life will never be the same.
The lining of your lungs is supposed to be protected with glutathione to neutralize incoming irritants. In the absence of enough glutathione, your lungs are more prone to irritation. Listen to the real-world results of one man using a powerful glutathione-supporting food.
Hi, my name is Bill O'Brien. I generally suffer through an asthmatic breathing-type situation. My breathing is shallow and generally constricted in the nose and lungs. After consuming One World Away today, I have tremendous energy and also notice my breathing is free. I can feel the air in my left nostril, and it is free all the way to my abdomen, which is pretty remarkable because I rarely get that feeling. Being a singer, I love feeling this unrestricted voice. The only thing new I've actually added to my routine is One World Way. Wow.
Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's one world, W-H-E-Y.com.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
What makes noise? It's ringing in my ear. What makes noise? And I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome back. With a few people who have emailed me over the last couple of weeks asking me about our theme song, Blood Makes Noise. That's actually a song from Suzanne Vega. And the reason that we adopted that is because that effect is what happens to people when they're under intense fear. And we're here to try to get to the truth and remove as much of the fear and mystery as possible. That's why we chose the song. Of course, the voiceover is added in and saying that I'm not going to take it anymore. Well, unfortunately, I'm still taking it. And we're still putting up with lies about the Kennedy assassination. And that is the topic for this hour with our special guest, John Onesti, who is the author of a terrific book written actually as fiction, but it's really the way he thinks it happened. And that's Assassination Point Blank. It's available. You can get to it from my website at thecommonsenseshow.com. And in fact, John, let's go ahead and give out your website information as well, so people can rush up there and see how to order your book.
Sure. It's johnonesti.blogspot.com.
Okay. So John, and Onesti is spelled O-N-E-S-T-I, just like it sounds. So John, where do you want to take this next?
Well, we've been talking about how I feel that the people inside the car were involved. And another thing I could mention is that LBJ and Conley wanted people to believe that Lee Harvey Oswald had a grudge against Conley because of his discharge papers from the Marines. But what they leave out is that Conley wasn't Secretary of the Navy for very long. He only was there for about a year. So when Oswald actually had those papers reviewed, they were reviewed by a different person. They were reviewed by, you know, Paul Red Fay. So for them to try to make it out to be that you know, Oswald was one of the people that he was targeting was Conley because of his discharge papers. That's very disingenuous of them to try to make that claim. And I wanted to point that out as well because they tried to stage it where, you know, to make Conley kind of a hero. And that was one of the things that they did. And, you know, you can tell if you look at watch that film, you'll see he's turned very awkwardly to the outside of the car, which is really weird. A very unorthodox way to twist your body if you're to communicate with two people in the back. And I realized, you know, the jump seats were moved in a little bit, but it still doesn't make sense to talk to two people in the back turning to the outside of the car rather than the inside. But he had his reasons for doing that. When your listeners read my book, they'll see why he was twisted in such a way.
Yeah, because he knew where the shots were coming from.
Right. They put the patsy up in that building. And but he had that reason, and he had another reason, which was the blood stain on his back. And I cover that in the book, and it talks about why he was turned that way. But you know, most of the theories on the Kennedy assassination, you know, we've been stuck in a stalemate between the Warren report, which, you know, Chris Matthews and O'Reilly, they can't agree on anything, but they both think that, you know, they both agree that the Warren Commission got it right. We have that group that, you know, adhere to the official version. And then we have another group of people who talk about the grassy knoll, and the grassy knoll is a good theory, and I do think there were people up there shooting a gun. But there is a third possibility, and it is that the shot came from inside the car. And my theory can be settled if they exhumed the governor's body and looked at that wrist. And if that wrist has never been broken and is pristine, then they have to admit that he was never hit. And what would that mean? That would mean that everybody in the car was involved. And that would mean that both the grassy knoll and the Warren report were both had it wrong. And so I think a lot of people don't want to go there, but that is a way to settle the matter. Whereas most of these other theories, you know, it's a faceless shooter on the knoll or in a building. Well, where are we going to go with this? It'll be 100 years from now. We'll all be dead and it'll be a faceless shooter and nothing will ever be solved or, you know, nobody will ever be brought to justice and history will just stay in a controversy.
You know, above all the facts connected to this case that disturbs me the most is the difference between the Warren Commission report and the House Select Committee on Assassinations, which came along 13 to 14 years later. And in the Warren Commission, it was Oswald, three shots, two hits, magic bullet, hitting both men to make that theory work. But then in the House Select Committee, they said clearly from the acoustic evidence of the Dallas police motorcycle radio stuck in the on position, there was clearly a second shooter, and they said maybe firing from the grassy knoll, and high probability of this being true, and they ordered the Justice Department in 1978, 1979 again, to reopen the investigation. And here it is, well over 30 years after the fact, we still don't have any ongoing investigation to get to the truth. That's what I find unacceptable.
Well, Henry Gonzalez was one of the directors. I think he was a director, chairman of the House Select Committee. And he was the one who brought the clothes, Conley's clothes, from Dallas to D.C. So right there, you have to start to wonder if what I'm saying is true, that's a pretty interesting and important fact. Now, how involved would he have been? Maybe he realized, hey, there's been a lot of dead bodies in Texas. I better do what Lyndon Johnson tells me to do if I know what's good for me. So that doesn't necessarily mean he was, you know, involved in it or even knew until after the fact or even really knew exactly what had happened. But it is weird that he became, you know, was one of the guys in charge of the House Select Committee.
Yeah, that is a huge conflict of interest, but are we surprised? I mean, if we look at the Warren Commission, we see the same pattern of behavior. You have John J. McCloy, who was the head of Chase Manhattan Bank, Rockefeller crony, who wanted the Vietnam War. He wanted the arms race because his bank stood to make money off the loans to the DOD and the corporations. You got Alan Dulles, who was fired as the head of the CIA over Bay of Pigs. one of Kennedy's avowed enemies, the reason Kennedy threatened to break the CIA into 1,000 pieces, and he's on the commission, and you've got future President Ford, Gerald Ford, and he and Kennedy were famous for their shouting matches over defense budgets on the floor of the Senate when they were both senators. I could go on and on, but you get the idea. I mean, the whole thing was rigged from day one. In fact, you know, I don't know if you've ever heard of this, John, but I've got a tape that I keep and hold dear, and when I speak publicly, I often play it. But it's a phone conversation between J. Edgar Hoover and Lyndon Johnson a few days after the assassination, and Johnson says to Hoover, well, we don't need a bunch of investigations. I want to basically put together a commission that'll rubber stamp the FBI report. That's pretty close to a quote, and we've got that on tape. And still, no one in government is raising an eyebrow to this criminality.
Right. Well, like Jim Mars said, it was a coup. And if they admit that there was a conspiracy, then it would mean that all the governments that have been in place since then have been illegitimate. And if you look at all the people that benefited, like you said, you mentioned, you know, Ford and others, that, you know, Dulles was on the commission and McCloy and all those people. Even, you know, Bush has been, Ventura and other people have talked about, you know, the picture of George Bush, that he was probably there in the plaza that day. And even Clinton, there's talk that, you know, Clinton gave Hal Boggs a ride to the airport. The one kind of dissenter to the commission, Hal Boggs, and Clinton gave him a ride to the airport. That was the last plane ride he ever went on. I think he was going up to Alaska and the plane crashed. So just a lot of strange circumstances here. And then if you take, you know, George De Morgan, Sheldon, all his connections to Bush, to Zapruder, to Jackie Kennedy, to Oswald. I mean, and then the way where he's even where he stationed his camera, perfectly perpendicular to the headshot. He wasn't, if you pan that camera, it's dead on to the perpendicular to the headshot. Now, what are the odds of that? I mean, Nix wasn't perfectly perpendicular. Then who did he sell it to? Life. Well, life was in a lot of places during these assassinations. It seems like Life got all the pictures. Didn't they get the one and the RFK assassination and many others?
Well, they did. And let's talk about Life for a minute. I believe, gosh, there's so many names here. Robert Groden was an employee. I believe it was him. He was an employee of Life. He's the one that discovered they reversed the frames of the headshot to make the head go forward, as opposed to what really happened going back. And he worked on processing this film for a long time. He knew his life was in danger. He's on a lot of the History Channel specials on the Kennedy assassination. So, yeah, they were involved in a cover-up. And when they got caught by District Attorney Jim Garrison, who brought the only trial, Life just said, oh, it was just a processing error. And what's interesting is Life, and let's get into motive here for a second. I'll give you one, and you give me your response. Life magazine was wholly owned by that time by the Rockefeller family. The Rockefeller family made big bucks off their corporate connections with the coming Vietnam War that Kennedy was opposed to. The nuclear arms dramatically increased under Johnson, and on and on and on about the weapons of war. And here you got Life involved in fixing the Zapruder film. It's a Rockefeller organization. And to me, when people ask me who killed Kennedy, I said, I can't prove David Rockefeller knew ahead of time, but he sure won the world's biggest lottery when Kennedy died.
Yeah, I mean, Life was an East Coast establishment magazine, and it was, you know, Skull and Bones and Henry Lucy, and like you said, Rockefeller. And it's funny that Zapruder sold it to them, and you have to wonder about him, where he stationed his camera. And they did doctor that film, but what did they doctor? They sure didn't doctor it to put Connally moving around in the film. They probably didn't even really think that anybody would see that. But I think maybe the Nix film, that film was doctored too, and Orville Nix said that when he got it back, it was changed. And a lot of the Grassy Knoll people say, well, they changed it because it would show the person up on the knoll, but it might have also showed Conley moving around in the car in the reverse angle. So that might have been another reason, in addition to seeing somebody up on the knoll. It could have been what was going on in the car was the reason they edited the Knicks film.
Are you aware that before the president went to Dallas, that the Secret Service, courtesy of a Miami undercover sting operation on known arms dealers, recorded the plot to kill Kennedy from tall buildings in Miami? Were you aware of that?
Well, I know that I didn't know what you're talking about, but you bring up a good point about the Secret Service, because if you look at Gerald Blaine's book called The Kennedy Detail, and I don't recommend your viewers buy it, because basically what it is a We Blame the Victim book, saying that Kennedy didn't want the guards on the car and that he was at fault of his own death. But what is interesting in that book is on page 130 to 134, and I wish I could read it, but because of copyright laws, I probably can't. They talk about a skit that they did, that they filmed, and it was six agents. And what was the skit about? The president being shot. And at the end of it, they laugh and they say, "Well, who killed the president?" "Oh, nobody knows." And that's in Blaine's book. And why would they put it in there? I mean, it's almost like a confession.
Right.
Very bizarre.
Well, what's your notion on why Kennedy was killed?
Well, all the macro picture still is intact. It's all still in play, regardless of whether I'm correct in that he was shot from within the car or if he was shot from the knoll. All the things that you discussed, the CIA, Hoover wanting to stay on, the military-industrial complex, and on and on. All that still holds.
And let's just take your theory at face value that the shots came from within the car. What's the difference in the outcome of any investigation as to motive and reason, as opposed to the shooting came from within the car rather than the book depository, like the Warren Commission says, or like a lot of conspiracy theorists say, the grassy knoll? What is unique about it coming from within the car that makes this stand out from these other theories as to motive?
Well, it's important because then you have the Secret Service involved for sure. You have the governor, because there were two Secret Service people were in the car and they weren't guarding the car. And so then you have to start looking at what were all these people, what were they supposed to be doing? And they could have been questioned more thoroughly, as well as the governor and his wife. That would mean that they were involved, and the first lady. So they all would have been involved in one way or another. And then we would have been looking into the backgrounds of all these people more than just saying, well, it was Lee Harvey Oswald, or it was some person that, but we can't tell you who it was. It was a faceless shooter up on the knoll, and probably the CIA had something to do with it. You go nowhere. It's like a dog chasing its tail. There's nowhere to go with it. But if it is from within the car, then you have to start to see what were the connections between all those people in the car to all these bigger players.
Do you think Jackie had foreknowledge?
Well, I think there's a lot there. I mean, I'll give you a little bit here. If you go into Gore Vidal's memoirs, talks about when she was sick, that he had heard from family members that they drilled holes in her head, ostensibly to put in radium or some other element that was to help her because the cancer had spread to her brain. I've never heard of that, but who knows what they were doing when they drilled those holes in her head. And I have some other information that I'm going to email you. It's not even on my blog, but it's in the book, but you'd have to research it to ferret it out, but I'll send it to you. But yeah, to answer your question, everybody in the car was involved.
Oh, that's disturbing. Do you think it was Jackie was because she was the scorned lover and JFK had been unfaithful with mistresses?
Jackie was worse than JFK as far as having playing around. And in the book called, I think it's called Dreaming in French, they talk about Jackie's time over in France and how she was hanging out with the founders of the Paris Review, which you may or may not know, but that was financed by the CIA. And you have to wonder, was she in the CIA? There's a letter that I have that I can email to you. She wrote, handwritten, to Vogue magazine, talking about taking a job with the CIA.
Oh, my goodness. This is news to me.
Send it to you. I'll email it to you. There's a lot there.
I've never heard this before. So you think that she was a contract agent and she was in the car, part of the conspiracy, as that role, as opposed to a scorned wife?
Well, she might have been a scorned wife. I'm not saying she wasn't. But what I'm saying is, she was no angel, and the media portrayed her in a certain way. And if you read, like, her secretary's book, My Life with Jacqueline Kennedy, you get a whole nother angle on this woman. It even says online, you can go online and see that, you know, there are people who claim that she was a CIA. She worked for the CIA right out of college. And she had transferred to, you know, George Washington University in D.C. And she was hanging out with a lot of Skull and Bones people. Her stepfather was good friends with Alan Dulles. And George De Morgenshilt was her mother dated him before she married into the Auchincloss family, which a lot of people don't discuss. But, you know, they called him Uncle George. So they're hanging out with all these, you know, CIA Skull and Bones people. Her family was. And some in that book, Dreaming in French, talks about her asking her stepfather to talk to Dulles about getting a job in the CIA, and that would have been in the early 50s.
My goodness. This is, I mean, a lot of this stuff is new to me. I never considered Jackie to be a potential member of the CIA. Annie, I mean, what's your reaction to that? Let's bring Annie in on this.
Well, my question for you is, why did she wind up with Onassis? Was that for protection, to keep from getting taken out herself?
Well, that's what they claim, but it was to stay away, probably to stay away, to get away from people. If you look at how she handled the writing, like with William Manchester, she was the one that went out and got William Manchester. She went to him and wanted him to do all the exclusive interviews, to kind of control the whole depiction of the assassination. And when Jim Bishop wanted to write his book, she threatened him and said, "You're not going to get any interviews, blah, blah, blah. We're going to sue you." And Jim Bishop went ahead and he wrote his book anyway. Well, then later she started arguing with Manchester, because evidently Manchester put a few things in, or he was going to put a few things into the, you know, his book, The Death of a President, that she didn't like. She actually even got an injunction against Manchester. Manchester had a nervous breakdown, or very near a nervous breakdown, during this whole time. And she said, "Well, I wanted the because they said, well, why you're hiring this guy to write a book? Why are you going after him? You're the one that wanted him to write it." She said, "Oh no, this was only to be for the presidential library. This wasn't to be published." So evidently Manchester had some things in there that she didn't want. She wanted to control all of the information coming out of that. And later, of course, when she was worked for as a publisher, well, who was the, you know, with Viking Press, and I forget the other one, who was the guy that hired her? He was a Skull and Bones guy. And then, and Aristotle Onassis, I mean, he was dealing drugs. He was working with the CIA and against the CIA and back and forth. And then later she was with that Templesman, who's another shady, strange character. So, you know, there's a lot there to look at. I don't think they wanted us to look in that direction, and the media painted her as a, you know, with a very nice portrayal.
Well, and she had the veil of protection too, because she was the grieving widow. She had to protect her young children from what happened, and anyone who would have suggested what you're suggesting now would have been the victim of a lot of scorn and derision.
The Holy Widow or the Black Widow? That's the question. And she unplugged the respirator for RFK as well. And, you know, she was keeping a very close tab on him. And there were some things, if you get Peter Evans' book, Nemesis, it's he's the one, he's a biographer who wrote Onassis' biography. He also wrote a book called Nemesis that details Jackie, RFK, and Onassis and the relationship. And in that book, it's very interesting. It even gets into how Onassis wanted, he hated RFK so much, you know, he wanted him dead. He even had some voodoo high priests down in Haiti do a hit, you know, psychic type of hit. And when he was at, and it's detailed in Evan's book, which you wouldn't think it would be because he's a, you know, mainstream journalist. He's passed away now, but you wouldn't think you'd find that in his book. But he talks about how Onassis got locks of hair from the president, the dead president, soil from the gravesite, and air from the gravesite to put a curse on RFK. And when he did it, Teddy Kennedy's plane crashed, and Onassis was laughing, saying that, oh, this stuff works. It's just we got the wrong brother. Of course, Teddy Kennedy lived from that. But, I mean, it's just some amazing stuff. Once you start thinking, okay, these people in the car were involved in this, and then you start rereading those books, you start seeing other things that you didn't see there before, hiding in plain view.
It's just amazing. You've gone down a couple of paths here that we've never touched on, and we've done so many shows on this. We're going to have you back here to further explore some of these side angles. I mean, they're fascinating. John, we're almost out of time, and I want to give you a chance once again, other than going to my website at thecommonsenseshow.com, where you've got one of the most prominent ads right in the middle of the page, and clicking that on, how can people get a copy of the book Assassination Point Blank?
The best place is to go to Amazon, and I have it there on Kindle and paperback. They can also go to my blog, and they can send me an email if they want to ask me some questions. There's some great videos on there, by the way. Some are interviews with other hosts, but some of them are like the one with Dr. McClellan's there. And I even have interviews with other researchers like Robert Morningstar. There's an interview with him. And there's Bill Cooper talks about the plaza and the occult aspects, as does Morningstar. So this even gets into the spiritual. And they can find out all about that there at my blog.
Fascinating. Again, in your blog spot, your blog is called?
JohnOnesti.blogspot.com.
Very good. John, this has been a fascinating hour. We're going to have to do it again. Continue good luck with the book, and we'll certainly promote it from our end. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
Okay, we got to step aside. We come back in hour number 3. Annie will be back with the news. Stay tuned.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy 2 bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.